if he hasn't already. He does these things without telling us, and then we're recorded without our knowledge.
I think he pressed it right after you said that he should press it, and he laughed out loud.
All I'm saying is I live in a two-party state.
And Tuxie, you do not!
You're right, I don't. But it's funnier if I claim to.
Well, yes, but the Empire
I think Imperial intelligence would disagree.
Imperial intelligence is quite sure that you live in an Imperial... And then there's the Star Cabal, but you don't know about them.
And also, you could argue that each sphere is its own party.
You certainly could, and sometimes I'm sure they do, and we're not going to get into the Dark Council arguing about things, because that's A, hilarious, and B, not plus ultra.
I love democracy! I love super... what's the name of the Sith homeworld again? I forget. Anyway, I was going to go by craft services, but there's just a few napkins on the ground and what appeared to be the footprints of a dragon.
Figures.
I'll see
myself
out.
Don't worry, we'll forge something up later.
Anyway, we are recording, and we should probably let Ellie get started.
Yes.
Last time, on the Giona's advice, the adventurers finally climbed the mountains to the north and found Altasuna Saria, the sky monastery nestled atop a pass between Dunmere and the northern reaches. There, they found a group of Sky, descendants of the inhabitants and visitors who'd been left there when the Great Dragons lost control of the magic, largely by virtue of most of the Great Dragons being dead at the time. While most of the Sky were understandably wary of visitors from the south, especially since they thought they were the only intelligent life left, one of them, Sarai, was very excited to meet the adventurers. After a few days of exchanging information and studying together, she convinced both Jose, the elder in charge of their group, and the party to take her back to their tower for the night, but only for one night, and she had to call when she got there. Now the party relaxes at, well, home, while Sarai digs in with a bookworm's enthusiasm through the restored library in the tower, probably with Devon's help, since it's always useful to have a study buddy. Surely nothing weird is going to happen while Sarai's here, right? It's the middle of winter, and snow covers much of Dunmere. While not all of the inland waters are fully iced over, the smaller lakes and ponds are frozen enough that in the less frontier towns, the blacksmiths are being asked to make skates instead of swords and nails. The name of the place is Beeble's Tower. This is Plus Ultra. And my name is Ellie. I'm here with Beth, Crash, and Eo. And what were you saying, old Rob?
And this is The Days of Our Lives, which is a very strange book. It's a rather convoluted plot. I guess it's okay if you're into that kind of thing, but this book, you might want to wear gloves when you're reading it. It has a residue. It feels soapy.
That's because it's somebody's diary that they were probably writing in after they took their evening bath or something.
Ew.
You know it's a diary. I mean, nothing could get like it. This is like all the sort of gossip that I hear all the time. You hear it too, old Rob.
I mean, it's not written like a diary. It's not in first person. Although, if it was a dream journal, that would half of this book is dream sequences.
I mean, it might be both.
And then there's the evil twin that shows up, and someone was in a coma from around here to here.
I'm just now we were looking for books on magic, weren't we?
Well, that's pretty magical coma.
Books on usable magic.
Oh, well, okay.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, anything that isn't in the library up at the monastery is fine by me. You know, once you've read all of those twice,
seems
they
to
get
me,
kind of boring.
Seems to me that what you two ought to be looking for is a way to duplicate a book quickly. Make two of them. That way we can share, and then there'll be lots of people up at the monastery who might want to read stuff, and that's more people finding what might be useful for us, right?
That's an idea.
They gotta have a way to duplicate books. All those books out at that got turned to glass.
Perhaps enchanted pens copy them out?
Maybe. I've done my share of copying. I mean, we have some books that have weathered the time not as well as others, so we need to copy them into new books so that they, you know, before they disintegrate and we lose all the information in them.
I'm familiar with the issue. I did a lot of copying as a student myself.
Let's go see if we can find a spell like that.
Yes, let's.
And we can let them talk about their
soapy book.
I am
going to go and cook food for everybody.
All right, that sounds good.
At worst, we get toasted whey bread with some condiments on it. At best, I'll find something good.
Well, that's better than we've had some winters.
Well, let's see what I can do.
We got this close to eating the seeds for next year one winter.
Oh, that's bad.
It was pretty rough.
Bad harvest, that'll do it.
I've heard some stories where people resorted to eating candles and boiling shoes.
Rob, why don't you tell people a story about finding books about making more books?
Oh, I know, just the one.
Old Rob will tell a story of the ancient city of Control. And in this city, there were various people. There was...
And they ate pasta?
There was... the story doesn't go too deeply into what they ate. But it does talk about how there was one member of Control named C, who was very good at selecting which books should be copied. There was V, who was really good at writing everything down. But there was one person in particular who wasn't that good at writing things, but they had this great organizational plan that no one else understood. F, the member of Control named F, could find anything so long as you knew the name of it. And that is Old Rob's anecdote ability. So now people have an asset in finding the books they want to copy.
And in particular, finding a book that might be about copying books.
Unfortunately, if you roll low, you're going to find a book that's about finding a book for copying things. Unfortunately, Rob happens to mention Control's sister cities, Alt and Delete. And as soon as Delete's name is mentioned, he loses his place and has to start the story over again. He's also very befuddled for a little while.
Oh.
My boot fell off. I had to put it back on.
Yep, I've rebooted. Let's continue.
Honor and a privilege to be in this group.
All right. Devin, go ahead and make me a roll. This will be difficulty, let's say, 4 to find a book that will at least contain a reference to the spell you're looking for.
All right. Let's see. Research sound like it will assist with this?
Sure.
And also you've got an assistant.
Probably also magical theory, and you've got an assistant, so you have an asset.
All right. Asset 1, and that's eased by another 1 for another skill applying.
And also Old Rob's anecdote.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and Old Rob's anecdote, and...
I wasn't just off topic. I was also off topic.
So that's eased by 5 steps in total, because also my intellect rolls, I can apply a level of effort without paying anything at this level of edge.
Okay. So, with a roll of 5, you beat the difficulty by...
Not much.
You succeeded by 8. So, yes, you do eventually find a book that, I mean, it takes you a bit. This is not the best organized library at the moment.
Does even... Devin get to do the thing where he gets on one of those ladders with wheels and slide down it?
If Devin wants to, Devin can.
Yay!
That sounds troublesome.
Sarai really wants to. But you do eventually find it. You haven't, despite the time you've had in here, this is actually a pretty fairly large library, and you haven't had the time to really give this the organization it deserves.
I mean, it's got like one, it's got like two libraries in it, minimum three.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah. The library is split into at least three pieces.
Yeah. And there's a few books here, a few books there. There's books on every floor.
Yeah.
One, two. Except maybe the, maybe it's only cookbooks up here in the kitchen area.
We don't need a full tally.
Mm-hmm.
You do eventually find a book that was written when wizards were being sort of circumspect about sharing their information. And so even having beaten the roll by five, even with all of those assets that you have, it takes you a while to decode what's actually going on. But you do eventually come up with a spell that you can learn that will copy the contents of a book into a blank book.
Excellent.
It now won't actually
blank book.
It won't actually duplicate the book, but it will, if you've got a blank book, you can cause it to contain the contents of another book.
Now we need something to make blank books. Also, here's food.
Oh, thank you.
Serve up food for everybody.
Okay. Sarai is very appreciative.
Hopefully.
Some of these are, you may have to explain to her how to eat some of this. Because it is not part of the varieties of food that Sarai would have had access to.
No. This is a taco. If you don't pinch this end, when you bite on this end, it all ends up back on your plate.
Oh.
Don't worry, half the time it ends up back on the plate even if you do try to pinch the end. That's what the napkins are for.
That's what my beard is for.
No, it is not.
A wise person once said, the purpose of a thing is what it does.
But they hadn't met your beard.
I mean, they said it to my face.
That doesn't mean they met your beard. They probably weren't on first name basis with it.
Is this what it sounds Jose, like when people talk to me?
Jose does say that the purpose of a thing is what it does, but Jose also says I'm not allowed to leave food out to see what happens to it.
Well, usually what happens to it is decay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes it's really interesting decay.
Well, that's valid, but also don't waste food when you don't have a lot of it. No wasting food in winter.
That's true. No wasting food in winter. I'm not going to make you roll for this. A little bit of searching does uncover a crate full of blank books. I would say 16.
And this one is blank.
I'm sorry. I talked over you.
That's okay. They probably found the blank books while they were looking for the other.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They're sketchbooks.
Well, they seem a little sketch to me, but.
So, Devin and Sarai, I assume, have a delightful evening of figuring out which books to copy.
Mm-hmm.
How about Rob and Karasinda?
Karasinda is going to be using her housekeeping skill to basically do all of the things that, you know, mend anything that's been torn on people's clothes, tidy up after people, you know, leaving some books out. You know, you just sort of, yes, she's going to put them back, although she'll probably put them back slightly differently so that they know which ones have been taken out again. Chasing old Rob with a broom. You know, the usual.
Okay. Adelina is warming up by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the fourth floor.
Hello.
And what old Rob will be doing.
Plotting how to get a forge in here. Sorry.
So we were told what books the other kids were interested in getting. So
right.
Old Rob will assist with finding those because he knows full well that if we let people chase after the squirrels that are here, then those books will not be found until the last minute. So best to find them early. Old Rob knows about chasing squirrels because of how many squirrels Old Rob has chased. This is, unless otherwise stated, figurative, not literal. So far as he's going to admit.
Yes.
But I imagine that's not going to take the whole night. So instead, old Rob is going to do things like get the books that are being put away mostly put back to where they are, but not all the way, so Kara Cinda has something to fuss over. Helping with getting the dishes done so that Kara Cinda could go and do them again because he hasn't done them enough. Being in an obvious location so that he can be chased with a broom. You know, he needs to provide these valuable services. If Kara Cinda has to go hunting for him to chase him with a broom, then she's going to be out of breath and just be cranky for the rest of the evening.
Oh.
One could argue that his method of being in the middle of a room and yelling out his favorite puns is perhaps not the best way to get Kara Cinda to be happy. But don't argue with the results.
Oh, dear. I mean, we did get that selection of books from the... Where are those?
Yes.
They're pinned in here, aren't they? No, they're maybe. Not pinned. That's the dragon.
They pin a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It would have been pinned recently, I thought. No pins.
Okay. Well, I have them written down.
I think there was one of those that she wanted to read, so that's probably going to... Honestly, what she's probably going to do is she's going to get the one that she wants to read, and while she's working on mending people's coats and boots and whatnot, then she will make old Rob read it to her. And he better not miss any of the words.
He'll not miss any of them, but he might add some more. There will be
she
editorializing.
Will kick you. Okay. He can editorialize some, although this will probably cause a certain amount of fussing.
Old Rob can have little an editorial as a treat.
She has the broom right by her while she's mending.
Old Rob stands between Kara Cinda and the broom.
No, she's probably got it across her lap. You know, it's bracing the mending. Anyway.
Rob was standing between Kara Cinda and a different broom, thinking that that was the only one. But Kara Cinda had another one at the ready.
There was another.
She swings the broom. He parries with another broom.
Honestly, that's about, well.
We end up having a sword fight with brooms.
Probably not very long. Anyway.
No, we're both old. We end up being out of breath and, like, leaning over, holding our backs.
All right.
Thank goodness we had the brooms to hold ourselves up as we hobble over to the nearest seat.
Who says she left her seat? She's not tapped.
If she was really going to have a broom fight with old Rob, she'd have to leave her seat. It doesn't have wheels on it.
Perhaps. there they are. Good. I'm gonna pin that. The Educated Herbalist. That's the one that's getting that we want some reading about.
We need to read this in character voices. Ellie has added in the chat.
The circle is now complete. When I last saw you, I was but the sweeper. Now I am the master.
Only a master of being ridiculous, old Rob.
Don't light the brooms on fire. Don't light the brooms on fire. Ouch.
The swing of the broom around wildly is not because we're doing a sword fight. It's because the broom was too close to a lantern.
Stamp it out. Stamp it out.
Yes, Ellie?
I was just going to say it's old, not old Rob.
Well, okay, point. Old.
Because.
I get it. I get it. I get it. Oh, well.
Oh, I'm actually being ridiculous. Old.
You broke Eo, Ellie.
So who earns the luck point for that? I'm going to say Ellie.
Yep. Whoops.
There is one player who is moving the plot forward right now. Just the one. The other two are providing content.
It'll get there when it gets there. Anyhow. If there's anything...
Banter.
Yes. if there's anything that our guest needs, whose name I blanked on because I can't mouse over and find out, that needs mended or whatever, then there will be some of that.
Her clothes could use a little mending, yeah.
All right. Pass that over.
And I actually thought I had set her to... That's a point.
Probably have no, she was set to hostile.
She set to hostile, too.
Peace. They all start set to hostile, as near as I can tell.
It's... Yes.
Sarai is her name.
Sarai didn't seem hostile, but then one of us went to take the book that was placed down near her. And there was a growling. Or the kind of hiss that one hears from an angry goose. Either way, the book was left where it was.
Okay. So, where do you end up at the end of the night?
As I recall, we frequently have been camping out either on the floor with the air car on one of the benches, or up with the on like the couch or something in front of the fireplace over there in the, you know, camp cot on the bedroom area, that sort of thing.
I think Rob has a bedroll on top of some crates down in the library.
This is correct.
You're still doing that? Okay.
Unless forced to do otherwise, that's his spot. There are many like it, but that one is his.
Okay. Devin, are you and Sarai pulling an all-nighter in the library? Or are you
going
to make
a little bit? No, Devin is going to be responsible-ish and do his best to prevent an all-nighter and make sure that Sarai has somewhere to rest.
Okay.
You mark a candle and say, when it burns down to here, we're going to bed because we've got a busy day in the morning. And it burns down to there, and you say, okay, I'm going to mark it here. When it burns down to here, I mean it this time.
So,
okay, when this new candle burns down to here.
If the couch in front of the fire is big enough for Sarai, it's probably the most comfy thing that isn't the bed, or else, you know, okay. It depends on what Adelina wants, which probably means, is there a long couch bench with cushions down in the room with the air car?
I mean, there can be.
I mean, I'm looking up at the top where it's got the little green cushions.
I think that's a couch with cushions.
Yeah, that's probably then where Kerosene is going to wind up, since at least it's a little bit padded, and if she's worried about falling off, she'll drag one of the large unpadded benches over. Since, after all, the magic of the tower means that the cold isn't coming in, if I recall.
Yes.
So she'll just sort of...
Rob, let's see. You're sleeping on top of some crates. Devin, where do you wind up sleeping?
There's a bearskin rug in front of that fire, etc.
Devin will drag a cot into that room. He does feel an obligation to make sure Sarai is at least marginally supervised in case something somehow goes wrong.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably... I don't know if we have cots available, but we probably at least have bedrolls.
Actually, I'm going to put you over here. Both because it's nice next to the fire, which is nice. And because it's funnier. You can... I'm sure there's a makeshift cot that you can make out of something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have bedrolls at least.
I'm not terribly concerned about the details.
Oh, well, true.
Okay. Night passes. Dawn breaks. Someone's going to have to
mending.
There is a hum and a pop that doesn't quite wake anybody up.
Oh, dear.
Don't like that.
What does wake people up is someone saying, hello, is someone here? Hello?
Hello?
Anybody?
Huh? Where's the voice coming from?
Devin is the one who hears this, because Devin is on the one who's on the floor. The floor where it happens.
Devin blearily lifts his face up from the pillow it was sort of kind of shoved into, because
with his horn placement, he kind of has to front sleep.
Yeah, that's fair.
Front or side, a little, yeah. Mostly front.
And shoves himself up, grabs for his glasses, sort of going, yes, what? Hello?
Oh, Devin, is that you?
Yes, yes, that's me.
It's Roderick from the Academy.
Roderick, hello. You figured out how to use the circle?
Well, sigil it up. It's taken the council this long to figure out what to do about it. But so they sent me to, well, find out why the towers sigil it up again.
Again?
Well, sure. They have a list of the known teleportation circles, but this one had been thought destroyed.
Huh. Out of character, Roderick was our friendly contact.
At the Academy, yeah. He's the one who let you in the gates. Way back in, like, episode 6.
Yeah. Roderick, forgive me. Things have shifted.
Oh, sure. It's been a couple months, hasn't it?
Yes, and a very strange couple of months. There are known teleportation circles.
Oh yeah, the council keeps a list of them. They've got I haven't seen it, but they say they've got a whole big wall with all the listed sigils on them. And this one lit up a couple months ago. They've been debating ever since.
They weren't wrong that it was destroyed. It simply wasn't destroyed anymore.
Oh, well, I don't know how that works, but I'm glad you fixed it. So,
out of character, does this count? Is this council like something that was there before?
Yeah, this is the highest ranking professors at the Academy.
Okay.
It's basically half a dozen people who have been there the longest, and they anywhere else they would be the deans.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Discworld again.
Well, I'm glad it's you who's here. I don't recognize your friend, but how are the others?
They're as they ever are.
Ah, well.
Adelina.
How are the pendants doing for you? Did you manage to get into what? I should say, Professor Boda sent me because, well, he asked you to go investigate the tower in the wilds, and then you didn't hear from you for 6 months.
All right. This information may be sensitive. We've come into possession of an item that's imbued with ancient time magic.
Oh, well, given how the Queen's still confiscating any artifacts that come into the city, I'm going to have to insist you not take that in.
Yes. Yes. She's still... I see.
Oh, yeah. She's, she's keeping her chin up and given what's going on, but, she's announced a festival for the 50th anniversary of the Wild Magic Retreat.
Well, that's lovely to hear.
Yeah, it starts in the spring as soon as the snows start to thaw.
What has been going on?
Oh, I think she's just frustrated because Dunmead and Revelton haven't started being rebuilt yet. It's just empty land right now.
Yes, that would make sense. Here, where are my manners? Come on, sit down. I'll get something to drink.
Oh, that's all right.
This is Sarai.
Hello. Hi. You're one of them folks what's his name? What shows up at the Queen sometimes? Iago. Oh, I dare say I'm nothing like him.
He's showing up.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes, but actually less and less. I haven't seen him in a month or so. I don't know what he's up to.
That's bad.
Nothing good.
Yeah, he, I may be a Sky, but I'm nothing like Iago. Until yesterday, I would have told you he was a monster from our stories.
Roderick, the one who burned down the towns.
Oh, well.
I don't know how he's convinced the Queen that he's an ally. I don't know what he might have said or might not have said.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very royal of him. Well, I suppose it's not my place. Queen does what she wants. But, no, everybody at the Academy's got the sense that something odd's going on. But we don't know what. The Council, they don't agree on what day of the week it is. But...
yes. That hasn't changed.
Anyway, the pendants are doing all right. Have you been in the Wild Magic?
We have, yes.
Oh, okay. And the pendants are doing okay for you? You're not, grown any additional horns?
No, just the pair. They've worked quite well, and I apologize that we've been incommunicando. As you can imagine, we have reasons not to return to the city right now.
Yeah, I understand that. Well?
Here's a question. Does the Academy have a well?
A well? One of the Tolkien... No, that never got built. I don't know why. But no, we don't have one. There isn't one in Dunport.
That's good to know. Things have changed. More people escaped in the past who hadn't before, and so I may ask a number of strange questions, because...
Oh, sure, go ahead. As long as you're okay with me asking strange questions, too.
Because time magic happened, and our memories haven't changed, but the past has, and I suspect the Academy I remember may have been smaller.
Oh, that's weird, thinking about the Academy not being the size it is. Yeah, I suppose everything grows and shrinks. Anyway, rest of your group about?
They should be. I'll go see if they're awake.
All right.
And I do not want to deal with dragging Devin around the map, but he will go and search out the others.
Harrison is pretty easy to find, I would suspect.
Yeah, Kerrison and Rob are both downstairs.
Old Rob is probably up by now, not because he wanted to get up early, but probably because at his age, nature calls more than once during the night.
And Devin will go find them and let them know that Roderick's visiting. He came through the teleportation circle. He says that now the Academy has a list of them.
That's a wee bit concerning, considering that means like people could get in from inside.
Yes, it does.
Well,
he knows what the wells are. I suppose part of that could have been that we were messing about with them elsewhere, but
no, it's probably because we used a well to communicate with someone and he got out. So we didn't lose as many mages.
What? So you just always known there was a teleportation circle that could bring you here at any time?
Who are you asking this to?
Roderick.
Well, for the past couple of months, but we weren't allowed to use it until the council made a decision.
Because...
Are there...
Until recently, it had been destroyed for the past 500 years. But then...
Yeah.
It had never been
destroyed. We thought that was odd, too.
So, instead of you thinking that it had been destroyed for the past 500 years, you were thinking it had been destroyed for the past 500 years minus 2 months. When, so far as the timeline's concerned, it was never destroyed.
But it wasn't active. It was in the wild magic for a while, maybe. I mean, we came here, that might have activated.
I would like everyone to know that if I am grumpier right now, It is because thinking about time travel gives me a headache.
You and me both.
It might have woken up because we did something. Like, show up here. Because it's Adelina's inheritance.
You say that, but also it was destroyed from our point of view. The things we did, we still did, even though we would have done them differently had it been... Roderick, I'm so sorry. Time magic gives me a headache.
I think that's time a side magic. Effect of the time magic. I mean, six I months ago, this floor was open air.
Yep.
Now, it's always been here.
Well,
all I know is, Council says, all the sigils on the wall were dark. And then all of a sudden, a few months ago, one of them lit up.
And that'd be
just the one.
Yep. Professor Boda says the ones that are lit up are the ones that are accessible. I don't know anything about it. It's not one of the classes they teach.
It wouldn't be, would it?
But no, they decided I was, quote unquote, in their words, expendable. So here I am.
Yeah. That was
you sure they didn't mean experience?
Oh, no, they probably meant expendable, just in case something here was going to eat him. Maybe we should keep him.
Pretty sure he gets to make that call himself.
Well, keep him from sending more things. No, they'd probably send somebody through who was armed.
No, they might be out of expendable people now.
We should probably send him back, but, like... Suppose we can trust him this far, but...
Flashback to Professor Boda gearing up Roderick back at the academy. Well, boy, they say you're expendable, and that's why they want to send you. Just like they want to send you every time because you're expendable. Here's the trick. The more and more you're expendable, the more and more you become invaluable. Now, you go and... find out what you can, and you come on back.
Aww.
If you die out there, you'll never hear the end of it from me.
Aww.
That's technically a correct statement.
It is technically a correct statement.
Which is the best kind of correct?
Yes.
I suppose, come to think of it, that's why they sent us off into the wild magic. We were even more expendable than anyone else, considering...
Also...
I'd never been to the academy before.
Considering that we might have some problems, considering who's probably been talking to the queen.
Oh, as Robert's been told about that.
About what?
Some guy named Iago.
In the company of Iago.
Oh, that's even worse. Don't trust him. He talks nice enough at first, but don't trust him. He wants to get rid of all the humans. And the Felta. Everybody but the sky.
And worse, he monologues.
I can handle a monologue, old Rob. You know I can handle your monologues. Worse, he...
You hit me with a stick too many times for that to be a true statement.
Well, I am not able to hit this Iago fellow with a stick. Otherwise, I might tolerate his monologues better.
I did hit him with a rock.
Yes, you did hit him with a rock. It was a pretty good hit, too.
I was off trying to get our people out.
One of the few times we did anything close to combat in this campaign, and I love that.
Kerasinda does not want to do any kind of combat. Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any other combat right now. Oh, wait.
The skeletons.
Yeah, we've fought a certain number of skeletons.
Off camera.
So 2.1 instances of combat. Because I'm counting hit the big bad with a rock as a 0.1.
Yeah.
He immediately left afterwards.
Alright, Sarai looks so cute. That icon is just so adorable.
Yes, it is. Kerasinda is feeding people, by the by. She will tromp up and down stairs and get people some food.
Old Rob will assist with this. There's a lot more people than usual.
Yeah, Sarai gets the good food. Roderick gets okay food. Old Rob gets waking forage.
Old Rob gets leftovers from last night.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably everybody's getting leftovers from last night. It's just that some of them are the kind that have, you know, the flavors have melded together better, so now they're a different food heated up.
It's the taco meat has been mixed into an omelet now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could just do anything. You just scramble in more eggs and presto, you've got breakfast food.
No. Old Rob rubs his fingers through his beard.
No.
And the plate has more on it.
Smack.
While I'm thinking about it, did he burn any other towns down?
That is a very alarming question.
We keep hearing rumors about other towns being burned to the ground with no corpses, but they seem to just be rumors. But I, you know, with the time magic and everything, I just wanted to, you know, maybe he did it and then it got undone.
I just heard of two of them.
Yeah,
Dunmead and Revelton.
And others, I mean, you send people out, don't you, to find out if they're actually burned down, right?
Yeah, I'm asking about the time magic.
I
don't think we've unburned anything yet.
Well, we haven't.
The only place that we kind of undid something.
I'm just asking if you know of any.
Not yet.
We don't know.
All right.
Any, but
then they're just hysterical rumors. I'm not gonna go into Antux's voice. I'm not gonna give them any more thought.
No. What towns? Just like towns or names of towns?
It's always just a town. It's nowhere specific. Sometimes it's Buttonton that got burned down. Sometimes it's, you know, it hasn't.
It was fine last time we were there.
The last one I heard was they burned down Jorvik, but
alas, Jorvik, I knew it.
Well,
you know how it is with stories. It's always two towns over, but you go one town over, it's still two towns over. It always happens to a town that isn't around here, because it makes it harder to verify, makes for a better story. Not that I know anything about that.
But they could simply be rumors, but we're not necessarily the only ones to have something like what we found.
Yeah, that's fair.
The thing about rumors is they spread like wildfire, but the spark usually has some truth to it. However, the two towns that we've confirmed burned down might be the spark.
Exactly.
Checking that out might be worth putting on our to-do list.
All right, well, one more thing I wanted to mention. If you do need to get something back to us, and you can't just use the teleportation circle, I ought to write down the Academy's glyph, oughtn't I? You'll need it in order to use the circle. Although I understand why you wouldn't want to come back to town.
People don't come through here.
But if you need to get something to us, look for a trader. He'll take out a slip of paper and draw a symbol. Look for a trader wearing this symbol. Them's our smugglers. And they get things to us instead of the queen when they come into the town.
Well, that's useful. How do we find out? How would we get back to the town if we had to get back to the town through the glyph for some reason? And how do we keep somebody from coming through this here glyph?
Well, if they're coming from the academy, I don't think you can. Is, in fact, the prospect of learning to teleport causing Devon to vibrate with excitement?
A bit.
Old Rob is very pleased that he called it.
Roderick will spend several minutes drawing out the glyph, a glyph on a piece of paper that represents the academy.
Devon is fascinated. Devon is maybe a little bit, it is an absolute tragedy that it's probably a bad idea to go back right now, because he wants to know what advancements have always been made.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Suppose we might want to teach Roderick the book copy spell.
Ah, yes.
Oh, unless he's always known it.
Yes, that's true.
Nah, I think Boda knows it, but he doesn't teach it to students.
Good, somebody knows it. Still, we should probably teach it to Roderick just so that we can get more people knowing it in case we need to copy more books. That's what we could do. We could import books. Blank ones to copy into.
We do have the bookmakers out there, and see, Boda doesn't teach it to the students on account of they could use it to copy tests.
Well, don't copy tests.
I'm not a student anymore, but I still haven't been taught the spell.
Is
anyway,
any test?
I'd be obliged.
I'm fascinated that it's known now. So many things.
Oh, well,
saved a few mages, I guess. More than a few.
It may be... Roderick apparently works pretty closely with Professor Boda. Mm-hmm. It may be that Boda has always known the spell and just never bothered letting on that he knew the spell.
Well, that's quite possible.
Let's see, Crash. That's one failure, five threat, a despair, and a dark pip. Concerning.
Yes.
And yes, a luck point.
Because
D1 for
Crash. C3 looked at.
And a luck point.
Thank you. As a teacher, I must scream in the language of my people that any test that can be passed by copying isn't worth the paper it's on. However, as teachers grow to find ways to streamline what they do and end up doing less work because of it, a lot of them will reuse the same test again and again and again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
I just make them make projects that are, you know, videos and other stuff. Where if you've copied it, it's very clear that you've copied it. Like the last project that was due, where somebody handed in a video I made.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I can count on one hand the number of times a student has plagiarized me specifically for an assignment. That number went up by 2 last week.
Dear God, why?
Oh, no.
For one of them, I am certain it was an honest mistake.
Right, continue. Devin Sarai.
While Devin and Sarai are teaching Roderick the spell to copy books, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Good idea.
A good plan.
And that's when he said punchline, which I didn't get. I don't know why he said that.
Isn't that one of those stories you always tell?
I'm telling a story about a time I told a story.
So you get an asset for telling stories.
Yeah, it's very meta. I got the idea out of this book that just has a bunch of faces in it.
Well, that's creepy as heck. Come on, let's get back here. Get away from craft services. Get you away from the craft services table.
But you're the one who stocked it.
Why do you think I'm getting you away from it before it gets taken off again?
Old Rob has grabbed a cupcake and is taking it with him.
Exactly.
Half of the icing will be in his beard in the next 5 seconds.
Oh, no.
When we return, in fact, everybody has moved downstairs, which I will do now.
Whoop.
Whee! So we're showing off the new wheels to Roderick. And by new wheels, I mean it doesn't have any.
Where it goes, it doesn't need wheels. It has landing skids, probably.
Roderick is very impressed by the new wheels, but mostly he and Devin and Sarai are looking over books, basically practicing the copy spell. Karasinda and Old Rob, I imagine, are bickering with each other.
Yeah, pretty much. Karasinda occasionally goes and grabs food as needed and probably is going to interject at some point to figure out if the town is doing well over winter or if, you know. She is trying to politely test whether they can get any care packages of food sent over or not. She doesn't want the town to get stressed, but a little bit of extra food sometimes might be useful.
Which direction are you trying to send care packages?
I mean, possibly both, but finding out if there's food in Dunton
Dunport. Oh, yeah. Roderick will happily report that Dunport is completely fine.
Okay, because...
Like this, especially with the new farms out in what used to be the Wild Magic, Dunport actually has never been more prosperous.
In that case, if Dunport can send some food in exchange for some of the stuff that we're sending back, might be possibly useful, especially since they might want to give some variety to the sky in the sky.
Sure. That can easily be arranged.
That's what she'd like to arrange.
Okay. Roderick will be happy to, in exchange for information about the wild magic and about the wilds and for access to the books here, Roderick will be happy to arrange to bring over crates of food.
Nothing that would cause too much suspicion, but, you know.
If anything, Dunport is running a surplus.
Excellent. Oh, gracious. Fish.
Yeah.
Dried fish.
Y'all haven't had fish in a while.
Yes.
I mean, he can even provide fresh fish if you want.
Probably safer to provide dried fish most of the time, because also she wants to make some fish, because I'm sure there was some fishing. But some saltwater fish would possibly be very fascinating unless Sarai is a vegetarian.
Oh, no, I'm not a vegetarian, but I would love to see a live octopus.
They're pretty hard to keep. They go walking out of their tank sometimes.
They're very intelligent beings.
I wouldn't want to eat one.
I've only ever seen one drawn.
Oh, well, we can get everything sorted out where Iago isn't influencing the queen and the queen isn't being horrible, then maybe we could smuggle people in to look at the sea.
Oh, that would be delightful.
Might take a while.
I've never seen live water except for the river that runs through.
Devin, that book of yours, that's got the map. We could see if there's someplace beyond Dunport where we wouldn't be likely to be seen if we detoured the car a little. When are we supposed to check back in? We got to check back in at some point before we...
Oh, speaking of which, it's, how long have I been here? It's...
Time to check back in.
It's getting pretty late.
I would hope that we had... Oh, that's Roderick.
Yeah.
Hopefully we checked back in before Sarai's, get back here time, I hope.
You would guess that you've got about an hour before you have to leave. However, it is getting kind of dark outside.
Oh, that's not good.
That concerns me.
Go out.
That concerns me.
And look.
Is it getting dark outside because it's getting later or because of something else?
Clouds? Dragon?
Let me double check something.
Uh-oh.
Ellie rolls on the do horrible thing to characters table.
No, I'm not doing anything. Well, I'm... Okay, this may be a horrible thing in that one of you may have a heart attack.
But that's a risk the GM will have to bear.
Old Rob prepares to grab his right arm.
Karasinda, when you go out onto the porch, out of the gloom, you see, well, you think for a second that you see two moons on the horizon.
That's no moon.
That doesn't sound good.
But it is very dark outside. Like, you can't see the ground dark outside.
That's darker than it should be if they're moons.
And then the moons shift and come a little closer.
Eyes. Their eyes.
Bit. So I don't want to alarm anybody, but I think there's a dragon on us. Or something big. And
you had guests. I didn't want to feel excluded.
Ow, for pity's sake. Sarai, run down and call people on the well, would you?
Sarai is petrified. Not moving at all. Okay. Not like magically petrified, just...
terrified.
Devin puts a hand on Sarai's shoulder and looks at Roderick and says, Roderick, get the teleportation circle ready. Make sure Sarai is safe.
All right.
If we have
to run. Do not worry, children. I do not mean you harm. But you have said my name 3 times.
Yeah.
And I am bound to appear.
We have.
It's Beetlejuice.
I will whack you. I will whack you, old Rob. I will whack you right
that
with
the stick. That was 100% out of character. I didn't even say it in the old Rob voice. But Karasinda is threatening to hit me.
Daggers.
This is Daggersk.
I am indeed.
Well, I'm kind of glad to see that not all the dragons are gone.
Indeed. Although, aside from my sibling Saknikte, who still slumbers, I am the only one who remains.
This is the dragon we saw defending the city, correct?
Yes.
This
is Daggersk, the black dragon, the night dragon, steward of the unseen.
Didn't we talk to a ghost who said the dragons had turned against people?
Specifically,
yes,
the daggers
should not be trusted.
We also found
out that those people were trying to do horrible things to the dragons.
Turned against is an interesting term, but yes, that too. Things got complicated.
Specifically, the message that the messenger ghost needed you to transmit was that daggers cannot be trusted, and he wanted you to transmit it to the King of Dunport.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I do suppose it might be useful if we perhaps fetched you something to eat, since that would be inhospitable of us to not feed a guest.
Please do not bother. I do not eat. My lesser siblings do on occasion, but the great dragons have no need of these things.
Ah. Well.
You have lesser siblings.
Oh, yes. Still they toil, but in our absence, you can hear that the word our is capitalized. They can do little to preserve the world. Only when the next generation is born will the magic that consumes the globe finally be tamed once again.
Fiona.
So it's happening again. The wild magic has been receding for 50 years.
Indeed. I have felt our children stirring.
Are they safe?
That is an excellent question. One of them, protected, is in a cavern far below the mountains. My beloved sister Siyu saw to that with her last breath. The other is precarious. The egg, I should say, is protected. But when it wakes, it will be susceptible.
Does Iago have an egg?
In Dunport.
That is my fear. Far below the castle.
We're gonna have to do something reckless, aren't we?
Well, that depends. Maybe there's a cave that we can sneak in and go under Dunport without going through Dunport.
If there was a safe way to do it, the egg wouldn't be in danger.
That's what he's doing.
He's trying to raise an egg.
First he must gain access to it.
So he doesn't have it yet.
Maybe.
No.
They're trying to claim all the artifacts that come in. I do wonder if they want a certain one in specific.
A key or a diggy?
Perhaps both. Perhaps that is why he made an alliance, short-lived as it was, with the Ugogs.
Dig, dig, dig. Diggy, diggy, dig. Diggy, diggy, dig. Oh.
Oh, no.
We need to talk to the Ugogs. We need to talk to the Ugogs and find a way to ask if their free will says.
We need to help the Ugogs.
Yeah. You know magic, sir? Oh, great dragon. What's the polite term of address?
You may simply call me by my name. I require no honorific.
Degersk. You're about things that are magic and...
I oversee the flow of magic, yes. But I cannot control it all without my siblings.
Can you say what happened to the poor Ugogs and how to make them be able to not get abused?
Before my time, before the time of anything living, the Ugogs were cursed. I know not by whom, but it is a curse, and it could be lifted. I do not mean to be cryptic. I do not know the way to lift it, but it is a curse, and all curses can be lifted.
Something to think about. Something else to think about is this whole mess started, with an asterisk about started, because we all know about that. With a bunch of people thinking that humans were worth controlling magic. And now there's a dragon egg in a precarious situation.
Which is, it's going to dig itself out, and it's going to dig itself out into the hands of, well, presumably of Iago, I assume.
I'm not sure. The intent is to raise the dragon.
You think he wants to bind it? Tame it?
Take its power somehow.
Eat it?
And when you take power, the thing you take power from doesn't always survive the process.
Well, no.
I think he wants to be the next Sekhnikte.
Or next something, at least.
Of a sort. However, there are multiple forces at play in Dunport, not all of them fully aligned with Iago.
Don't like that fully.
There were, after all, three factions in the war that ended the control over magic and slew my siblings.
Right.
There were those who believed that dragons alone should continue the control of the magic. There were those who believed that the mortal races had earned the right to govern the direction of the world. And there were those, myself included, who believed that mortal races should work in concert with the dragons. I can take no action in Dunport without threatening the people of the city. Yeah. You have a finer touch.
Bit smaller.
Indeed.
Is there a way we can find the egg and get it somewhere safer?
The latter would be difficult, but perhaps the former I can assist you with.
How big is a dragon egg?
Well, Daggersk stops to think for a second.
Like, bigger or smaller than the flying cart here? Or car?
Oh, larger.
How many carts tall?
One of your ships, I think, would struggle to carry it. But removing it is perhaps not the goal. It is well protected.
Until it hatches.
Once it hatches, the dragon inside will find a way out.
If it was as simple as that, you wouldn't need to tell us about it.
If Iago finds an egg, maybe he can mess with the egg? Or if the queen does.
Iago is particularly well-placed. It is the red egg that I know is safe. The white egg is below Dunport, and it is Saknikte's power that Iago uses to exert his will, even though he controls only a fraction of it.
Is he drawing from the egg already?
Oh, no. But if he gains access to it, he may use that fragment of Saknikte's power to siphon the rest of that great dragon's power. The newborns, I mean.
So how do we stop this?
Well, it seems to me that you must confront Iago, perhaps at the egg or its chamber. Even now, he quests in search of it.
I think we need to talk to the Ugags.
When it was stolen, its captors were cunning and crafted a maze to contain it.
Oh, stolen? Did humans steal it?
Yes.
Of course we did.
To my chagrin, I gave them the knowledge they needed, thinking that I was compromising their ability to act. They took advantage of what little I gave them.
Daggersk, I hate to say this, but I think, possibly, you should have kept the magic to all the great dragons instead. I know too many people. Humans felt a lot of us are good, but some of us just cannot be trusted with something that big.
Perhaps you are right. I have, after all, had 500 years to regret my decision.
Well, might be nice to have some advisors, and some little magic stuff. But the big magic is clearly...
It sounds like Iago's.
It sounds as though... Well, it sounds as though the people who would have done this wished to take power one way or another. They didn't wish to share. I don't think the issue of sharing was what ignited that.
Probably not. Still, they wormed into the ranks of the people who said they wanted to share.
Look,
people
right
who
now,
want power always will.
Yeah.
Right now, we're at the part of the story where I usually gloss over a bunch of details to get to the next bit of action. So, we need to, 1, locate the egg chamber, preferably
knowing how to get through the maze or get around it. The player is thinking of a Simpsons episode where Bart just takes a chainsaw to a hedge maze and says, look, I found a shortcut.
I mean, oogags do count as a as chainsaws if the maze is made out of dirt.
If the maze is made of stone or dirt, yes.
If we can ask them nicely without overriding their free will.
I would like to point out. Well, actually, not point out necessarily, but does the time pressure of this go in both directions? Is there a possibility that we could go and lift the curse and that...
The curse is more than 500 years. It's before Daggersk's time. We would need sanction from the White Dragon for that.
That's something of what I'm asking.
Hold some smelling salts under her. Excuse me, we need to save your egg.
Mm-hmm.
If we went to when she lived.
She's still around. She's just hidden.
Oh, sorry, I didn't track that right.
When she was
went
active.
To when she...
Yeah, Segnite is not active anymore. But
indeed, there is a moment at which this could all have been undone. But the world you returned to would not be the world you came from.
Would it be a happier world?
I do not know.
I don't mean go back and undo it all. I mean, then we knew it was precise, but things could not be changed further back. We might be able to witness the cursing, and then we might know how to break it.
Oh, that's clever.
How interesting. I do not know that Saknikde's power extends before her birth.
Time.
But
keeps ticking away.
Perhaps.
Egg confrontation and uncurse the poor oogags, because otherwise Yago's going to use them again.
Perhaps.
This is definitely a thing to worry about, but at the same time, I think the most pressing concern beyond, this is the player having a moment, not old Rob. Beyond making sure Sarai gets back home safely, of course, is making sure that the egg, which apparently is protected right now, turns into a baby dragon that is not in danger. And that means confronting Iago, possibly
probably,
a bigger rock this time.
That sounds like a good idea.
I suppose we'll have to find where and when he is.
Indeed.
We know where he's going to want to be, though.
Does he travel himself, or does he just send people back?
Other than briefly working with the oogags, he seemed to mostly be working as a free agent.
As far as we know.
He hasn't even been hanging out with the queen of late, based on what we've been told. So, like Dagger said, probably need to confront him in the egg chamber. So we need to find the egg chamber, hopefully in a way that doesn't just lead him to the egg chamber. So how do we go about doing that?
Well,
I figure the best way is to figure out if you can help us find the direction of the egg, Dagrisk, and if we can trade something to the oogags so that they could decide if it was a fair bargain, see if they could get us to the egg chamber, and maybe make the maze worse for Iago, keep him away from the egg entire. If it hatches, what happens to Saknikte?
Now that is an interesting question.
The Giona said that you transfer the egg to... So...
We give our knowledge of the world to the new dragon, and then we go away.
I'd like to still find our friends and family and students and all that got strewn around in time, so even if the little one is little, comparatively, has time, does that mean that we'd lose the window of time if they can't go send people back before they were hatched?
Mm.
What's more important?
Keeping Iago away from the baby.
I hate to say it, I miss the town. But keeping Yag away from the baby is going to affect a lot more people.
Overall, yeah. Just don't like leaving our people out thinking they're all alone.
Stories have a way of bringing things around and have solving one problem, making another problem be easier to solve. Now, we're technically not in a story.
I was just about to say that.
But in the stories, the people who try to worry about everything all at once don't get anything done. Any move they make means they're not making a move to solve a different problem.
I know that.
So we prioritize. And let's prioritize.
I wish there's a way we could talk to Saknite without her wanting to turn us into ice.
Glass, technically.
Whatever.
Indeed. She was very angry when she slept.
Well, I don't blame her if somebody stole her egg. I'd be angry too.
Indeed. Perhaps I can give you some assistance.
Perk.
We try to avoid giving the impression that we have bestowed favor on a member of the mortal races. But as I am the only active great dragon, perhaps there is little harm.
You can take it back again. Favor means sometimes that you...
Well, I think I will not directly affect you, but asking the magic to flow a certain way is within my capabilities. I shall grant you a boon before I go. This should make it easier. Have you any other question?
Can't think of any myself. Devin?
An enormous number, but I don't know that they are relevant.
Well, I hear my name when it is spoken. If you have need of me, you may call. But I also am mindful of responsibility. I have been talking to you for almost an hour. And you must get young Sarai home to her family. I leave you then with my gift. Good luck, my children.
I've got one question. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Since all this started, a little after we learned your name, I think, I've started noticing things. You are the steward of the unseen. Are you the reason I'm able to see the unseen? Which is literally one of the abilities on old Rob's character sheet. And I talked
about What an interesting question. Perhaps when you took my attention for the first time, you also grasped a fragment of my power, as Iago has of Saknite's. But I do not know. I do not feel it missing. I do not believe that I granted it to you, but it would be far from the strangest thing that has happened.
Probably a little curl of wild magic.
I trust you have done nothing untoward with it.
Paracinda looks like she's considering if there's anything she can rat out old Rob on, but is not saying anything.
Old Rob has deliberately not used See the Unseen for anything other than trying to move the plot forward, in fact.
To answer your question more directly, I did not give you this power, but it does seem interesting that you should have it, just as Devon has the ability to undo that which Saknite has done.
What?
You've been unfreezing the books, remember?
We've got a flying cart.
I thought that was simply because that sort of, well, it's as he said, and it can be undone and being frozen.
I can't see through dragon magic. Something hidden with dragon magic, I can't see through it.
You can't?
You sure about that?
No. Yeah. When I'm blanking on what they're called. The kobold-y people.
Giona? The Ugags?
When the Giona rehid. When the Giona rehid where they were, when they renewed those wards, I couldn't see through it.
Oh, right.
Old Rob might not have told you this.
Old Rob stood there and stared at where the passage had been. And I spent a heck of a lot of effort canonically. So Old Rob knows that at his power level, he literally cannot see through it. And you undid something that Sagnite did.
Oh, well. Cinda, you should not be surprised. You have taken of Gulshan's power.
Oh.
The roseate dragon, steward of the gardens, governs the living and the dying.
Oh.
The body you saw in the forest with the mushrooms. And Adelina, my poor sister, sees a reflection in her, in them. I apologize.
I think Adelina uses.
I forget.
Either way. I wonder who has Olua Sei's gift, but we all have parts of us that appear in certain members of the mortal races.
All that wild magic.
The four of you seem to have been singularly blessed, and I am glad to see my siblings reflected in you.
Curtsy.
I have not seen them for 500 years. And as I near my own death, I am grateful for their presence once more. Now, you must take Sarai to her home.
Yeah.
And I should not linger any longer. Goodbye, children. We will meet again.
Seems likely. Curtsy.
Safe journey.
And to you.
We will do all that we can.
And try not to muck it up.
Always a tricky one. All right,
there is a rustle and flapping as of great wings. And then it's daytime outside again.
And there's no dragon out there because, of course, unseen. All right, let's go back and...
All of you now feel there's nothing really specific that you'd be able to describe, except that it isn't quite gravity, but it's something else. It's like if you were in a stream that was going a particular direction. You know how you feel the flow of the water around your legs?
Mm-hmm.
You feel something like that directed toward Dunport.
Oh, pause. X that away. Time to go get the kids.
So, are we all going to die? Should I...
No. The dragon left. It's all right. We're all fine now. But we have to take Sarai home before her people get upset and worry about her.
Oh, right.
It's all right.
I suppose I have to.
Great, it was
really nice meeting you, Roderick. Nice to meet you too. I'll take my report back to the council and I'll see what I can do about that food.
Run the report by your mentor first.
By Boda. Yes, of course.
Yes. I don't know if the whole council needs to know everything.
Be careful.
Yeah. Very careful.
All right. Certainly. Well, after all, it's not every day you meet a great dragon. Or, well, you four.
No, it's not.
Miss Sarai, it's been a pleasure. Likewise. And Roderick steps onto the teleportation circle, lays his hand on the piece of paper with the glyph on it, says a couple words, and there's a flash of light, and he's gone.
Garcinda wants to memorize those words as best she can.
Chaguna, they're the words that he taught.
Just making something sure. Like that.
They're the words that he taught Devon and Sarai.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I learned that from trying to figure out what was going on with the stasis papers, but I...
Devon is just reevaluating a lot of things. Like the fact that stasis is one of the other... abilities he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's get Sarai going here.
Hey. Remember this. Daggersk didn't actively give me anything. I might have an echo of it, but it most likely is because I'm the kind of person who'd make use of it. I'm always looking for things. I'm always trying to notice things.
You're always nosy.
There's that too.
Like I said,
Karasenda's been a healer since before you were born.
That's right, whippersnappers.
So the healing magic... Exactly. Anyway, and the healing magic matched who she is.
And I am the sort of person who said, let's not start traveling through time until we know what we'd be doing and that we wouldn't be tearing the past up in our struggle.
And you've got a mind that can wrap around such concepts, headache or not. Anyway, I'm assuming we're saying this as we're going to the car.
Yes. And possibly in the car.
And possibly until we're halfway there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Kerosene is possibly... Were there more of these carts at the ice... The glass city?
Why, you want one for
yourself?
This
is the only one you saw.
This is the only one we saw.
That's not to say it's the only one, but it's the only one you saw.
Well, after we've saved a whole bunch of things, maybe we should get one of these flying carts, give it to the sky so that they can go places without, you know, gesticulate.
Look, we can add a whole bunch of things to our to-do list.
I'm adding this one.
But first we must investigate.
First we gotta make sure the world doesn't end up all belonging to Iago.
That
exactly
be nasty. All time belonging to Iago. He'd go back and eradicate everybody who wasn't a Sky, probably. And, you know, no offense to your people, Sarai, but I don't really want to be eradicated. Oof. Monastery, we land.
It's snowing again. It's snowing again.
Oh, it is snowing again.
And we did gather up all the books that we are A, loaning, and B, giving because blank books, yay. Blank book copy, yes. Spell yay.
As you land, Jose comes out, looks up at the sky. Yes, I know. And says, well, right on time. Welcome home, Sarai.
Barely on time.
And Sarai runs toward Kirkland. Jose. Oh, thank you, thank you. I'll be right back. Jose, I met a dragon! And that's where we're going to end it tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight I was joined by Beth, Crash, and Io. Who wants to plug something?
Io's mom writes books. ElizabethMcCoy.com. Check them out. Check them out. You know, get your library to get them through Overdrive so that you can read them on Libby, or read like half the novels if you go to the Smashwords site, because that's how big I set sample size. And I hope you like them, because if you like them, you can buy them. And then I can feed the cats and that kind of thing. And speaking of cool stuff, do you want to do bookofgen.net?
And shadowsoulton.com.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are where Jen puts things when Jen is well enough to do that. Jen was unfortunately not well enough to be here this evening, but we are hoping for a speedy recovery.
Yes, it's the pollen.
Speaking of websites, AaronBSmith.com is where I put everything that I make, pretty much. Everything I make that isn't for school specifically, that goes elsewhere, because school and personal stuff is kept separate. But with that said, AaronBSmith.com is for podcasts and TTRPG supplements and a TTRPG that is its own contained thing, and stuff like that. You can also follow us on the Fediverse. It is AaronBSmith.com/@cogwheel. And you can support us on Patreon and help us keep the lights on by going to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and joining other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy.
Until next time, this is Ellie saying, they're nice kids. I hope they survive. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. And then, not a single one of them used telekinesis other in any meaningful way whatsoever. There you go. You all have an asset in whatever it is that story was about. Am I doing it right?